News and interviews from your community. Every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Rob Centers on the other side of the glass. We appreciate his help and hard work. Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom. He's monitoring a fire call this morning in Shamokin, so he'll have more to say about that in the next 20 minutes or so. In the studio with us now, Dirk Remensnyder is here. He's a game warden with the Pennsylvania Game Commission. He's the game warden for all of Union County, right?
All of Union, a couple townships in Center, and now covering three townships in Lycoming County.
Oh, they gave the Elam Sport area in that region, Allenwood.
Everything
region?
Basically south of the river.
Oh, okay.
It connects into Union.
Well, holy smokes, that's a big territory. I was going to say it was big before, but now that you got some extra corners added to it, and boy, there are a lot of deer up in the Elam Sport and Allenwood. That is a deer-rich area, right?
That's a deer-rich area, and truthfully, I'm not seeing any that aren't deer-rich this year when I'm driving around.
Oh, okay. So there were spots that, like in the game lands in western Union County where I think it was kind of hunted off when doe tags were a little bit more plentiful out there, but you're seeing a good recovery out there?
We're seeing a good recovery. And one of the things I base it on, Mark, and what you're talking about, it was true. It was a lot of the state forest area down the western end of Union County. But one of the things you base it on is the number of farmers calling about crop damage every year. And back when we were talking about that, I was getting zero calls for crop damage from all these farmers. Now these calls are going through the roof. And that's one thing that tells you about the deer herd surge or decline.
Okay, and the farmers often kind of write off the peripheral row of corn. That's for the deer. They expect that, but you're saying they're digging in, going farther than that outside row?
They're going a lot farther now, and, you know, the farmers have always been good and willing to put up with so much, and when it gets to the point where it hits their pocketbook a little too hard, then there's a problem for them, and now I'm getting enough of those calls that it's a little bit of a problem for them.
Okay, and typically termination is the result of that.
You got to get hunters in there. You got to harvest. We have to maintain a stable deer population. We can't go, you know, too high where it could affect the environment adversely, and we can't go too low. There's a delicate balance that we try to strive for that the hunters are going to be happy with it, and we're going to be taking care of the rest of the environment also.
Okay, now if a hunter's out there and they need public land, they don't have a buddy who's a farmer or somebody who lives out in the country, they don't have land, where do you tell them to go? What are some of the spots that might be open?
Well, we have a few state game lands in the area. We have 252, which is up in the Allenwood area. We have 193 in the Winfield, 201 in Mifflinburg, and 317 that towards the western end of the county in Hartley Township. Now, along with that, there's a lot of DCNR state forest in the Bald Eagle State Forest. And down towards the west end and running through the White Deer Pike area is quite a bit of state forest land where they could go anywhere. It just might take them a little looking on a map and scouting out their area to hunt.
Sure, maybe ask around. It might not be the property owner, but a lot of the farmers out there, a lot of the people are kind of informed on what's cooking. They'll tell you where to go. Sometimes they'll tell you where to go if it is their
a
land.
A lot of times they will tell you where to go to try to take care of some of these.
Do you get a lot of, in the weeks ahead, we're going to get a lot of hunter-owner conflicts. Is that a common thing?
It kind of ebbs and flows a lot of times. To me, sometimes it more becomes a territorial conflict. You know, territorial, this is where I hunt deer. I don't want you hunting deer here.
Or between two hunters, neither of whom might happen to be the owner.
A lot of times one is the owner and the other maybe not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, those are the conflicts that we see the most, territorial.
I had a feeling that might be the case. I don't hear too much about it myself as a hunter, but I noticed that was part of the Sunday hunting legislation that I think it's still pending, correct?
The governor needs to sign it yet. I'm not sure. Okay. I might be behind a little because I've been out in the mountains these seasons. But
if and when he does that, the written permission from a landowner is one caveat that's part of the Sunday hunting.
That's my understanding for the Sunday hunting, correct.
Okay, well, we'll have to to read more about that when it happens. It's not going to be until next year now, so I'm on the side that I don't like Sunday hunting, so that doesn't bother me that it's delayed, but seems inevitable at this point.
Well, one of the things you look at, you know, a lot of times when things like this are passed, people are okay with three times a year. One's going to be most likely in spring gobbler season, one during the deer archery and one during the deer rifle. And that's what the Farm Bureau was willing to put up with. Now, if the people who pushed this and proposed this initially think they have a foot on the door and they push for every Sunday, that's where things could probably go wrong between different factions such as the Farm Bureau and the sportsmen that want more. We have plenty of opportunities right now. The hunting season lasts a long time, so we got to find a balance where everyone's happy with it.
Well, while I don't like Sunday hunting, it doesn't bother me that we have three Saturdays for the rifle season coming up. So tell us about this change to Saturday.
So the commissioners voted to make the opening day on a Saturday instead of a Monday. Still a mixed bag on that.
You mean in terms of opinions?
Of opinions, yeah. There's a lot of tradition with hunting camps. And a lot of those opinions still wanted to see the Monday opener. And, you know, three Saturdays, though, it gives people more opportunity that, you know, have conflicts with work schedules. And we're going to see when this Sunday hunting comes in what the commission decides. I mean, they could decide to go back to a Monday opener and then just run it through for those straight 2 weeks and put that Sunday in the middle, or they could stay with the opening Saturday and then, you know, have a Sunday. But they're going to have to figure out how to do that, because whichever way you slice it, there could be two Sundays in there, and the law will be saying only one Sunday in rifle season. So we'll have to see what they decide.
Well, I personally won't hunt on a Sunday, but I did ask my lovely bride if I could spend part of the Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday weekend, hunting this Saturday morning. So I am going to do that. So, you know, I will do that. It's not a protest if I don't Sunday hunt. It's just probably not convenient. But this Saturday, I'll go out.
Well, and that's the thing that, you know, I've always said, When we do some of these surveys, we survey the hunters and ask them what they're thinking and what they want. But we always forget that, as we say in the military, household six has a vote. And if you screw up mom's plans for Thanksgiving, you might not be going the first day.
Household six. I'll have to think about that. But all right. Well, yeah, no, that's the women rule. At our place, I don't really have too much to say about too much that happens. But, okay, so the Saturday hunting is here. You've got some mixed reactions to it, but you're ready to enforce it. That's what folks are going to be doing. We're going to see hunters all over the place. Quite a few hunters will be out this Saturday.
Yeah, we anticipate a very big opening day. The whole 2 weeks, really. There's a lot of deer out there, as we discussed earlier. I'm hearing reports of a lot of large rack buck. And hunters, do not forget, if you don't have or haven't got yet, in our areas right here, the 4D and 4E management unit, you can harvest a bear from Saturday till Saturday if you have your bear license. Bear everywhere. We're in bear season right now for the regular rifle, but there is so many bear out there, it may be a good idea to think about getting that bear license if you haven't already, and you'll be out there deer hunting the first week.
Okay, so, and a lot of hunters say they see bear while they are deer hunting. Of course, they typically be out of season, but with the tag, if it's the right size and that's their interest, and with that license, they can harvest a bear in the 4D and 4E.
Yes, that's correct. There's other ones that are open around the state, but you're going to have to look where you hunt. And if you're hunting up north at a cabin or something, you want to make sure and look, because some areas are open during that first week, some areas are not.
So the bear check stations will be open the whole bear season?
The bear check stations will be mainly from regional offices, and a lot of times the officers in the field will do the field check on those bear.
Oh, okay. So you're doing more field checks these days. And then Jersey Shore is the field office I think of around here. That's where folks might want to go.
That's correct.
That's your field office?
That is.
Okay. So you got, what is that, the 368 phone number up there? I forget.
Yep. Something 398.
Oh, 398. Yeah, and it's in the book, too. So it's also in your rule book that you get from the Game Commission when you get your various licenses. All right, so the number of deer available is good. The Saturday hunting, no Sunday hunting this year. Anything else noteworthy for the deer season before we take a break here?
Yeah, the biggest thing that is the most noteworthy any times is safety. We got to wear the orange. You know, don't have a loaded firearm in a vehicle. Positively identify your target. I, through my career, have investigated numerous hunting accidents or what we call a hunting-related shooting incident. And they never turn out good for any of the people involved. Either the person behind the gun, the person that, you know, got shot accidentally.
Or just shot at.
It sure does not turn out good for any involved. So once you pull that trigger, you can't pull that bullet back. Please take your time and be safe.
All right, so wear your 250 square inches of orange or more. No loaded guns in vehicles. Be careful of your target, but that's a super one. And wear the harness. We had one of our acquaintances fall a short distance out of a tree recently, but he's an older fella and he injured himself. So
yeah, we're seeing that a lot more, which is great. People are wearing their tree stand harnesses, but if not, they're very user-friendly now. They're not that expensive in the store. They slip on very user-friendly, and it'll help you.
Well, now they're made to save your life, not just leave you hanging up there. So that's
correct.
That's a big difference. Well, and this fella had a tree stand that had like a rifle bar around the front. He kind of thought he was safe, but he fell asleep, and out under it he went, and he woke up on the ground. Okay. Well, thank you. Dirk Remensnyder is here. He's coming back at 7:40. More information. We'll talk more about bears, and we'll get a chronic wasting disease update, and we'll talk more about hunting and the State Game Commission when we return on WKOK Sunrise.
Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super glad to see everybody on the radio. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom. In our studio, Dirk Remensnyder is here. He's a game warden for Union County with the Pennsylvania Game Commission. How long have you been a game warden now?
I've been at this for 25 years.
Is that true? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't have such short hair, you'd probably have gray hair, right?
That's true.
There is gray hair up there. Okay. Let's see. You reminded us to wear 250 square inches or more of orange. Make sure you have no loaded guns in the vehicle. Be careful of your target. That's a really terribly important one. And wear a harness if you're up in a tree stand, even if it's one that has the little safety bar in the front. That's just to steady a rifle. That will not hold you up in the tree stand. Let's talk about the bear season. Right now, there is a bear season underway.
Yeah, that's correct. The bear population in the state has extremely expanded, and this year the commissioners and the biologists saw fit to put some more opportunities in for hunters. We had an early one-week opportunity for bear with a muzzleloader, and that was followed up by 2 weeks of bear archery. You could take a bear with a bow if you were out deer hunting at that time in archery. And right now we're into our regular four-day bear rifle season, which will be followed up by, in some areas, starting Saturday with the first day of deer season through the following Saturday, bear season will also be in some wildlife management units.
All right, so for your Union County, 4D, I think of that as like the broad New Columbia, West Milton, Allenwood region. Is that an okay description?
Yeah, basically we have the majority of Union County is management unit 4D, and a small portion of it is 4E, and that portion runs from Route 15 in Lewisburg, 45 west into Mifflinburg, and then down Route 304 over to Penns Creek. So that section right in there, that small area, is still 4E, but the bear season is open in that one too.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, so I hunt in one of those descriptions you just placed, so I can, if I get my bear tag and I see a bear, I never see bears while I'm deer hunting, strangely enough. Other hunters do, though, so I know they're around.
And that's what everyone says, but, you know, with the people in the woods, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen. A lot of people in the woods, they move animals in different directions. And sometimes people say, I never see this in the woods. And then when they're not prepared with the license, they will see them. So I would suggest if you're going to be out there that first week, get a bear license. It might happen for you.
I always see tons of turkey when I'm archery deer hunting, but I never see bear. But that, you were right. It's just it's like winning the lottery, just a matter of making sure that that happens. Tell me about the prevalence of nuisance bears that are around here. That's a growing dilemma.
And this is why the commissioners and the biologists expanded the season. They were hearing a lot of pushback from the field about the number of complaints we've been getting. Just like any animal, bears are highly adaptable to humans and where they make their home. And what I've been seeing lately is a lot more bears pushing into the areas into town. Now, one of the things I knew was going to happen with the construction here on 15 and the bridge going across to 147, that area in there has always held a few bears. And I knew once that construction started, they were going to get pushed out of there because of all that racket and everything going on. And some of them are in the Winfield area and moved up into the Lewisburg area. And they have become adaptable where, unfortunately, they hit a lot of people's garbage cans. So we're hoping some of those may get harvested before the end of the bear seasons.
Okay, so it's you've seen more deer, bear. Let's see, let's go to Route 15 and draw a 2-mile circumference around the armory as you're going into Lewisburg from the south. In that 2-mile circle, that's sort of the broad region you're talking about where there's more.
Yeah,
there.
From basically from Winfield up to the Lewisburg Armory there, we have gotten many, many bear sightings and bear complaints. And the complaints are basically they're hitting the garbage, you know, on garbage day and things like that. Any animal is an opportunistic feeder, and bears especially so, because we have to remember their sole goal right now is to consume as many calories as possible in the course of the day to prepare them to survive the winter hibernation.
Okay, and you encourage people to keep their garbage in the garage or something until the morning of the garbage day and then put it out.
Yes, that's correct. That's the best policy.
All right, and you are trapping and transfer some bears. I mean, there's more bears than you could do if you
yeah, and and that's a big misnomer amongst people. If they see a bear and they say, you know, well, it's being a nuisance, we'll call the game warden and have him trap it out. It doesn't work. We have trapped bears and moved them over 200 miles away, and they're back in 3 or 4 days. They have an internal homing device, and they're familiar with an area, and they come back. And then the one problem you tend to run into is if you separate that bear by a major route, like an Interstate 80, that they're not familiar with crossing, a lot of times they get hit and killed on the way back on the road. So moving a bear is a very, very last straw option for us. A lot of times it's learning to, you know, not put up your bird feeders. Understand people like to see the birds, but put them up when the bears are hibernating, maybe between December and April. But if you have them up after that and the bears are out of hibernation, a bird feeder is a bear feeder. And that bear's not a nuisance. He's doing what a bear does.
That's true. Yeah, somebody had a meme on Facebook the other day, showed a deer in the middle of the road. Say, it's not a deer in the middle of the road. It's a road in the middle of the forest.
That's correct.
So that's the deer's habitat there. Okay, so the nuisance bears are out there. Folks use common sense. Maybe the bird feeder's just plain too high for a bear and strategically place your garbage out. You know, what about folks that get a bear-proof garbage can? You know, and I've seen people put a chain over the top of them. Is that sound advice?
A lot of companies that build garbage cans and or dumpsters are building now bear-proof cans and dumpsters. Now, quite a few of these work, but remember, bears are very smart animals, and if there is a flaw in that human design, they will find it.
And they can use their paws and sticks and things to pry. We've seen them do that. So
yes.
You know, I don't know if they could use a crowbar, but they could use big sticks and whatever they can find. All right, so that's the bear season. But the abundance of bears is there, and there's some larger bears in Union County?
There is some very large bears in Union County, and this is evidenced by what came into the check stations in the last 2 days. There was, that I am aware of, 3 over 300 pounds. One came in at, I think it was 5'10", and another at 6'15". So there's some very large bears out there.
All right. So they're the ones that are out there. Soon to be taken, hopefully, by a happy hunter and not by a vehicle or something like that. Chronic wasting disease. We're right on the periphery of one of the areas closely monitored where the disease has popped up.
Yeah, and this could change hunting as we know it in Pennsylvania if we do not contain this disease. The agency has been out there doing a lot of public speaking engagements with it. They've been putting a lot of information on the internet, trying to get everyone to understand what it is, how it's spread, and what we can do to help stop it. We are asking for the hunter's help in a lot of these high prevalence areas or higher prevalence areas to get out there and utilize these doe tags. One of the things we find, and I hear every year, is these hunters saying, we only hunt buck on this property. We want the does to stay. If we don't manage it properly, you're going to be managing CWD because of that thought process. And not even the worst poacher in the state wants CWD in their poaching territory.
So this hunter-reduced deer numbers helps fight the disease by reducing its spread?
It does. In the areas where it is and what they call where a spark occurs, we want to put out that fire and we want to manage it.
Okay, you don't want to wipe out every deer, but a lower deer population seems to help. If somebody has a concern about chronic wasting disease, how can you get your deer tested?
Basically, in those areas where it is already found, they have on the website different areas where they have head drop-off boxes. So these are big steel boxes, kind of like your clothing donation boxes you would find at Walmart. And if you harvest a deer, the instructions are right there on the website. Once you skin your deer out and take the head and the hide off, you would drop the head in one of these bins. And our goal is to get the information back to the hunter, tested and information back within 7 to 10 days. And so they can take that to the butcher and get it butchered and just have it there, and they'll get the information in 7 to 10 days.
Both of these can happen at the same time. There's no risk or dilemma there.
Correct.
And this is free now, right? Everybody can do it. There was a charge
earlier.
Yes,
the one in the boxes are, if you are in a non-CWD area where it is not spread yet, you would have to send it to the Department of Agriculture, and there, if you get on those sites, there is a fee for that. This is only free in the CWD areas where we have detected it.
Okay, and that would be Lower Snyder County?
Yes, there's an area down in there. And, the other thing, Mark, is there's one thing we can't forget. We're serious about stopping this disease, and we need the hunter's help, not only in hunting and harvesting deer, but we have to remember that if you hunt in a CWD area, say like the Altoona, Blair County area where it's prevalent, if you harvest a deer, you have to keep the critical parts there and get it butchered there and just bring the meat back. If you harvest one there and you live in this area and you come back to a butcher shop here and it's the whole deer and I find out, it's going to be a citation this year. We have put the education out. We have warned people. We are trying to stop this. We need your help. Don't get lazy, or it's going to be a citation this year, which is unfortunate because I don't like to have to do that.
Where can I get more information about all of this?
Anytime you look for more information, you can get on the Pennsylvania Game Commission's website, or most of that information is also in your Hunting Digest.
All right, and just look in your Hunting Digest and go from there. And State Game Commission has lots of information. Dirk Remen, Snyder Game Warden, thank you so much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure, Mark.